Welcome to Let's Talk Real Estate. I'm your host, Anna Olsisi, serial entrepreneur, passionate marketer, and partner at Segway Group at Keller Williams Realty Gainesville. On the podcast, you will find valuable information about all things real estate, plus some fun stories told by a variety of guests. So if you like what you hear, then subscribe and invite any friends who you think may get some value from listening.
Everybody, to this week's episode. Today we have somebody who, well, it's a timely thing because we've got elections coming up, and we have someone who is running for the Electra County Property Appraiser's Office, but as property appraiser. And she happens to be a friend of mine. So full disclosure, I do know her really well. She is the only realtor who is on the ticket. And I think that that's very important. Not that I'm doing any kind of pitch here. This isn't a political thing, but I do want to say that somebody who's a realtor really understands the whole property appraiser role and everything that goes into all of that. And so I have the honor of speaking with Susan McQuillan today. She's going to tell you a little bit about herself and everything, and then we're going to dive into a bunch of questions, because really, I get so many of these questions all the time about taxes and homestead exemption and how is my property appraised and all these other things that as realtors we do know, but somebody who is potentially the property appraiser for our county would know even better than I do. So welcome, Susan. How are you?
I'm fine, Anna. Thank you so much for having me on today. That's awesome. I really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Absolutely. Well, you know, I'm always looking for topics for the podcast. And I was just thinking the other day, this would be so timely because it's something that people really do ask about. And right now with COVID and everything, the sales are starting to pick up again. And we are getting a lot of people who are coming to town from other places throughout the country. And a lot of them have so many questions about the whole process of taxes here, particularly in Alachua County and everything. And then even just first-time buyers or repeat home buyers, you know, they do still want to know how their properties are being appraised and how the taxes are being assessed and everything. So, yeah. So tell me a little bit about you and, you know, what your background is, what you're doing now, and why you've chosen to run for property appraiser.
Sure, absolutely. And I agree with you. I think this is great timing, not just for the election, but I think people do need to be well educated, especially for the election, on what the property appraiser does. So as you mentioned, my name is Susan McQuillan. I am running for the Alachua County Property Appraiser. But a little personal information about me is that I am married to my husband, Art McQuillan. We will be married 30 years coming up this October.
Yay.
Although we'll see once we get through this pandemic, because he has been furloughed from his company. He was a national sales manager for a pet product company and has done that for 30 years himself. But he has always traveled, and now he finds himself staying at home and being doggy dad. So, so that's been interesting. But no, we're doing just well. We have raised our two children, AJ and Allison, here in Alachua County. My kids are grown, and they actually both moved to the big city of Chicago. Ooh. But yeah, they love the city life, both of them, and they are enjoying it up there. And so we have two dogs that are now our little furry children, and we are enjoying the, what is it called where your kids are gone? The
empty nesting.
Thank you. Totally lost words.
It's all good. I'm about to be there. So
I've been around in Gainesville for quite a while, about 24, 25 years now. Mm-hmm. Like I said, we raised both of our children here, and I've been in the real estate industry for 30 years, believe it or not. That's kind of scary to even say, but I've done a good amount of different aspects of the real estate industry that include property appraising. I did that for 10 years here in Alachua County. I've done title work. I've done corporate management. I've done sales. I've done property management. So I have what I feel the one difference for me too, not only being a realtor, but also I have a full array of options that I have had open the doors to me in this industry. So I feel a little bit more like I kind of know, you know, what to expect in a title problem, or if somebody has an appraisal problem or a real estate question, that I have at least some sort of a touch on those problems that I can help solve.
Absolutely. I mean, you have really done it all. I feel just so a lot of people listening may not understand how robust that kind of, I mean, of an experience you've had, but to put it in perspective, I mean, most realtors just do sales and there's nothing wrong with that. That's all I do. You know, that we sell, residential or commercial, sometimes both. And you become very knowledgeable in that, but we then don't have the extreme knowledge in these other areas. And when you say that you've done something like property appraising for 10 years, which is different still than the property appraiser position, but you understand an aspect of that. And that's so important because there's just so much involved in real estate and people really don't understand. Like property management, like that's one thing that's foreign to me personally. And I always find it, you know, that it's a whole other beast. And so you've been in all of it. And that's great. You have every perspective when it comes to that. So good. Very well qualified as far as I can tell. but you know, I haven't even defined what a property appraiser does. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what the role is and why it's important?
Yeah, sure. And I do want to go ahead and stress, because one of the things when I first came out and told people that I was interested in running for the property appraiser's office, and the first thing I kept hearing is, oh, I send you my taxes. I want to make sure that people do understand there is definitely a difference between the tax collector and the property appraiser. And so the property appraiser is really making sure that our tax rolls are proper and that our values are proper, as well as exemptions, that the exemptions are being adhered to, and that I think educating the public on them as well to make sure that people are taking advantage of those exemptions. You know, as you well know, as a realtor, sometimes people, when you move, you get busy and you don't remember, and then all of a sudden it's April and you go, oh my gosh, I didn't file for my homestead exemption. And there's no getting that back. You cannot go back down there and say, oops, I made a mistake. They say, yeah, okay, for next year, you'll be all set. So, you know, those are the kind of things that making sure that we get that information to the consumer, because that's what that exemption's for, so that people that are utilizing that as a homestead can have that exemption off of their taxes or their disability or their widow or, you know, whatever exemption they may apply for. And I think there's a lot of people that still don't know about those. And then second, I'll just mention something on the exemptions because I think it's important. We should absolutely make it very easy for those exemptions to be applied for. And right now, you cannot apply for those online. And I think we need to kind of bring back, and I can talk about that later, but into the, we are now into the technology. And I think that we certainly need to be able to address that. And again, Alachua County is a very large county, and there's a lot of little cities in here, and some people don't have transportation. And so to have to make some transportation to get into the Alachua County Property Appraiser's Office in order to file for homestead, you know, those are the kind of things that I think are important of bringing it into the future.
Totally. Years ago, so I want to say it was like 4 years ago, I was working with a couple, and the wife, I think, frantically called me like February, I want to say it was like February 27th or 28th. So, you know, and she had to file this by March 1st. And she says, I'm just going to do it online. And I was like, okay, well, you know, good luck. And they didn't get it. I mean, there was a glitch and there was a problem, and they did not get their homestead exemption, which is a really, really big deal. And I actually want to tell people, what is a homestead exemption? Because a lot of folks, that doesn't exist throughout the country, as far as I know. And so, like, not in every state. So tell us a little bit about what it is.
Right. So a homestead exemption is when you use that property as your home base, I guess you could call it, and you're not using it as a second home or an investment home, but it's actually where you reside and where you live, and you get a tax break for that. And I know, actually, I just read an interesting article on somebody who, I think it was in Sarasota County, that there was a mix-up between their homestead exemption from here in Ohio and all this, and they ended up having a big old... There's some interesting articles about that when you start talking about other states that don't call them homestead exemption, or you're not really sure whether, okay, so I live here 6 months and a day out of the year, or I live in Ohio, 6 months out of the year. So you got to kind of look at what your requirements are for each state. Mm-hmm. But here, it's 6 months and a day to make sure that you are living in it as your homestead exemption and reside into that property. So that's important, that homestead exemption is extremely important to make sure that you get that. And then also, as a little special note of this, especially for realtors, especially if you're new in the industry, because a lot of us don't realize that, that homestead does drop off. And so depending on when you're purchasing that, like in your people's instance, that would have dropped off. They wouldn't have gotten it. These people didn't file. It does not move on with the property. So every individual that goes on to that property has to file that homestead exemption every time there's a new person that comes in there. But then they also have to, every year, there's a postcard that comes. You don't have to do anything with it if you haven't made any changes. And it just says, we are just making sure you still live there.
Does your exemption carry on then to another home that you purchase? I do get that question all the time. So if I move to another home today, and can I apply? Do I have to reapply for homestead exemption on my new place?
Yes. So you have to reapply on your new home as well, so that they know where you are and that you changed residencies and this is now my new home, especially even if it's in another county or whatever, you have to apply again. What you might be wondering about is the amount. You get your break on your taxes for the taxes may only go up 3% every year on your property, even if the values are going up more. So there is that amount that you need to be concerned about when you are moving to another property, and you can take a portion with you. But the problem is that that's another problem when you have somebody who buys a new property, is that when they're basing the taxes on the current value, sometimes those change, and you need to know what the taxes are going to be for you as an individual next year. And there used to be a tax calculator on the website. I don't know where that went now. Since they made the changes in January, you can't go on there and get a tax calculator any longer for a realtor who could tell somebody, hey, this property at 123 Main Street, once that the taxes go back up to what their normal value would be right now, then your taxes will change tremendously the following year. And for somebody who's a first-time home buyer that doesn't know something like that, or a first-time realtor who doesn't realize that when you're doing your numbers, that could be a big change.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, I've had instances where where property values have gone up significantly throughout the years. Somebody bought a property in 1973 and has been living there the whole time. And then somebody's coming in to buy it and they're like, oh, great, my taxes are only like $1,500 a year. And I said, wait, not necessarily. So, because it'll change for them, based on the assessed value of the property.
Right.
So, and that's the other thing. So people always want to know, well, what is the assessed value of my property? Is it what I paid for it? And I tell them not necessarily. So can you give us a little bit of clarity about that?
Yeah. So, this is one of the things that I want to make sure of with the property appraiser's office. Is one of my, I guess, if I want to call it pet peeves or top on my to-do list, is certainly making sure that we have accurate information. And so the information that flows through the property appraisers is what they do is they take actual sales data and they work out values within that from that information. The problem that I think there is a little bit of a catch-22 or a snowball that I think happens is that a lot of realtors and appraisers utilize the property appraisals website or the information provided by that website to do their work. So for instance, if I go in and I'm trying to appraise a two-bedroom and two-bath that I have as my subject property, and mm-hmm. I'm trying to appraise that, but I look in the website, and let's just use something like a Rockwood unit where all of the units are, you know, very similar in age and size and all of that, and I look at another unit in there that sold for $100,000, and I'm using very, you know, abstract numbers here, but let's say it sold for $100,000 and it's a three bedroom, three bath. Well, then I would make adjustments for that sale that is showing in the property appraiser's office because mine's only a two bedroom, two bath. But right. What if that information was wrong? What if that was a two bedroom, two bath that sold? And mm-hmm. so that is where I see a lot of problems within the website of them providing the information to the professionals that utilize this information. So now as a professional appraiser, I should check on that information to make sure it's accurate, that that $100,000 unit that sold was actually a 3-3. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times you rely on that information to be accurate in there. And if you some people don't go and take that extra step to make sure, then you're utilizing the wrong information. And as realtors, we do the same thing. If you're going in there to try and put something on the sales market, I mean, how embarrassing would that be if you said, oh, yeah. I did a research and there's a 3-3 that just sold for $100,000, so we should just market yours for $75,000. Well, right. Then you find out that that was a 2-2.
Exactly.
You know, so yeah. And that could be a lot of lost time. It can be a lot of lost information. It can be embarrassing. And it's inaccurate information. And so going back to your question about the values, you know, yes, an assessed value is different than a tax value, than even an appraised value in some instances. And, mm-hmm. and I get this question a lot, and I'll just put it out there because you probably have people that are listening that might be interested in this, because I just had somebody recently ask me. Hey, Susan, I sold my house and it's weird. The appraisal came out at exactly our contract amount. And mm-hmm. I said, well, that's exactly what it's supposed to come out to be. The appraiser's job description mm-hmm. is to make sure that that property sold for what a buyer and a seller are willing to pay for it. So if right. a buyer is willing to pay $100,000 and the seller is willing to sell it for $100,000, you have an agreement of a contract of $100,000. Now, again, this is if it's at arm's length. Right? Mm-hmm. Everybody is out in the open. It's not a brother. It's not a mother. It's not a right. friend that you're giving a deal to. It's got to be an arm's length transaction. And that's what they agreed to sell it for. So the property appraiser in this case is supposed to try and come out with that actual amount. So, mm-hmm. you know, that's what an appraised amount is to say, yep, buyer and seller are appraising it. Mortgage company, you can go ahead and loan on this because this is what the value should be based on what the buyer and seller are buying it for. So there's a little difference in what the actual values are supposed to be for. In that case, it's for a mortgage company, not just a buyer, not just a seller. Mm-hmm. So it depends on what it's for, but there are different appraised or there are different values based on what you're trying to find a value for.
Right. Because what I've seen sometimes is that like on the property appraiser site, it says, well, it's the assessed value or whatever is $500,000. And yet I know that the person paid $700,000 for a house. So where is that coming from? You know, and the taxes are based off of that 500, right? I mean, am I getting this all correct? Am I giving the
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, well, and then you have some total yeah. adjusted values, which is your right. combined of your land values and all the improvements. So you have several different values that are down inside of there of what they're actually coming out of. But yes, that mm-hmm. all comes off of the tax roll and how they base that.
Right.
And again, that tax roll is based on sales in the area. And I find it interesting that, I mean, that's one of the things that I'm hoping to help with the, being at the property appraiser's office is that we actually do work a lot more with realtors and making sure of values and where they're coming from and how, you know, if you don't have your hands in that out mm-hmm. there in the field all the time, I feel like if you're just looking at numbers on a spreadsheet, it's not the same.
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, especially lately, property values or what people are willing to pay for property has increased significantly. And I'm almost seeing things going back up to like pre-recession, like when the boom and everything was really, really high, because we're seeing price per square foot up into like into the 200s in a lot of these newer developments or renovated homes and all of that, which was not what we were seeing 4 years ago. And so I guess that that does affect the appraiser's job in terms of how do you adjust for that and how do you make sure that it doesn't go so wacky that the values that they're putting on things are completely wrong. And then 10 years, you know, or not 10 years from now, but like 3 or 4 years from now, that's going to be a problem if things start to change a little bit and the supply is higher and the demand is lower. So, and that's just basic economics. Of course, I understand that, but it's also, it just makes it a little bit harder, you know, in terms of appraisals and all that, because I don't know, like the houses aren't changing all that much. And
And then, you know, the other thing just to touch on that is that if somebody does believe that their values are wrong, you know, there is a process through the Alachua County Property Appraiser's Office where you can bring that in front of a group of I guess they're appointed a board. It's the Adjusted Value Board that can look at that and hopefully give you a proper process on why your value is what it is, where it came from, how they determine that, and whether or not it's going to change. And so that's another thing that a lot of people don't realize, that there is a process down there that you can go through, that if you think your taxes are too high or too low, that would be funny.
Nobody at all.
You can actually go through that process.
Right. Okay. Well, good. That's good to know for sure. So let's circle back to the exemptions, because I think a lot of folks don't exactly understand, other than the homestead, which we already covered. But what other types of exemptions can you have on your home to keep knocking down, you know, your taxes?
So there are a few other exemptions. There is a disability exemption. There is a age 65 and older with limited income exemption. There's a widowed exemption. There's a blind exemption. There is a disabled veteran discount for anybody 65 or older. And then there's a veteran disabled discount. So there's quite a few. There's a surviving spouse of a veteran who died while on active duty. I don't remember all of them, but I do know that they're on the website. And, you know, those are ones that, you know, a lot of people are not familiar with, that, you know, you have to obviously qualify for and show the documentation for, but that certainly is something that I think people, especially some of those other ones, everybody hears the homestead, but don't understand that there might be some other ones that can assist them in not paying all of their taxes. It's really a discount.
It's a tremendous discount. I actually was working with somebody the other day, and he is over 65 and everything, but he's like a disabled veteran, basically had every single exemption, so his taxes would be non-existent. And yeah, we're talking about, you know, Alachua County versus whatever county, Gilcrest or something else. And I said, well, you know, the taxes are going to be lower in X county versus Alachua. And he said, actually, they're not, because it's irrelevant for me personally. And to be able to take that into account, he knew that. But somebody else may not know that. So it's important to have an agent, or, you know, either a buyer educate him or herself, or have their agent really explain that to them. Of course, you're starting to dig into some personal stuff if you can't tell if there's something going on with the person that would allow them to have that kind of exemption. But at least letting them know what they are off the bat is really important, just so that they can best calculate what their potential taxes would be on whatever property.
For sure. And I do know, for the most part, anytime I've had to call down to the property appraiser's office, they've been very helpful. And so if somebody has questions about that, you know, I'm sure that, you know, calling down there and asking if you can't understand, sometimes it's a little hard to understand on the website exactly what you need or whatever. And I'm sure that they can assist you with that. But I know that one of the things that we also have been discussing in some of our forums and stuff is, you know, I mentioned before about having possibly some outreach to the rest of the county. You know, if there was some sort of a satellite office that was out in Hawthorne, so to speak, or Alachua or High Springs even, that, you know, somebody could go to and ask these kind of questions or call and, you know, be able to feel like they were asking somebody there locally and be able to keep in touch.
Yeah, no, that'd be great for sure. Okay, so rolling around to something else that everybody asked about, and you sort of actually did touch on it already, but Amendment 10, which is called Save Our Homes. Can you tell people about that? Because that goes hand in hand with the exemption and this, and then people ask me all these questions. So
yes, and that's the exact words I could. I was like, Save Our Homes is exactly the words that I was looking for earlier. So Save Our Homes came out many years ago where they decided to, I think it was around in the early 90s, 95, 96, something like that. And it was because homes were increasing so quickly in value that literally like you could have a tax bill one year that's $1,000 and then the next year it would be $5,000 because they were moving so quickly. Mm-hmm. So they ended up where they passed it to be a law where the limits increase your annual increase to only a 3%. You can't go more than 3%. So even if your value of your house went 10% in the next year, you can't do more than 3%. Or there's a national consumer price index, whichever is less. But I think most of the time it comes out to the 3%. So that is one of those things that you'll see. And like for me, I've been in my home for 23 years now, I think, 22 years we've been in our home. So we're every year, even though we're in an area that is increasing in value because they're building more and more homes around us and they're getting bigger and, you know, more stuff all around is going up around us. Yeah. So the values are increasing, but my tax bill has only increased or my value on my home. So it makes my tax bill not go up so high every year, only that 3%. So the other thing that they did is they allowed for a portability of that Save Our Homes. So you have to apply for that portability with the property appraiser's office, and that transfers that portability to another property. So you asked before about transferring homestead. That's exactly what this does. It transfers that portability over. So where we used to say, or I even used to say, I can't even go and buy another house somewhere because it would kill me in taxes where let's just say, and I'm going to use weird numbers. Let's say I pay $1,000 in taxes for this year right now. But what used to happen is if I was trying to go to a different house, whether it was the same size or even smaller, if I was trying to downsize, my taxes still might go up $3,000, $4,000 because of just moving locations. This way, you can actually bring your Save Our Homes with you. And it's portable now that you can take it with you, which I think is a wonderful option.
That's a fantastic option for sure, especially if you have been living in your house for a long time, like you said. I mean, ultimately, like I've been here in mine for about 10 years, and I'm sure the value has changed and the taxes, you know, if I were to buy a similar house, it would be a lot more and I wouldn't want to have to deal with all of that. So,
for sure. And I think especially for, you know, us that are, you know, we raise our kids and now we're looking at maybe downsizing. I mean, it doesn't make any sense when you're trying to downsize on your home, but then you literally can't move because your taxes would go up tremendously. Now, it's not to say it won't go up, but, it, you know, certainly the portability helps that.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Okay. So we've talked about existing homes. How about if you're building a home and when you buy it, you bought a home and it was taxed for the lot only for the land, and then suddenly there's a house on it, and then what happens in terms of taxes?
Yeah, and this is another area where that tax calculator comes in play. And so that way you can kind of figure out what your taxes are going to be. Because I do know the other thing is a lot of mortgage companies, I know even when we refinanced, they didn't do escrows anymore. I was kind of surprised about that, but I don't know how many are kind of pulling out from doing that. I don't know if I know there's some. And so if you aren't having an escrow collected for your property taxes, and let's say you think they're only going to be $500 this year, and then all of a sudden you get your November 1st bill and they're $3,500, that is a big surprise.
For sure.
And so certainly when you are talking about about when you are, you know, have your property, it certainly is good for your closing. Your title company will help to adjust that as far as what they think those taxes will be when they're doing an escrow account, if you have one. If not, then you better make sure you're putting some funds back to the side to make sure that you have the money to pay for those taxes, because it certainly will go up in value if it's based on a lot value only and not with the house on it.
Sure will. Absolutely. So I've had a lot of people say, you know, so if you close on a house, let's say January 1st, is it better to do that if your house is brand new and it'll be only assessed for the lot taxes versus closing on it on December 31st? Or is that less? Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So that's the thing, is that your taxes will be based on your property as it is on January 1st. So certainly that's where you would want to look at it. If your value is only based on the lot and you have that option, do I close before, you know, the end of the year? You would have to look and see. Now, that's, again, the other thing is you have to look at what your CO, which is a certificate of occupancy, is filed, because that, you know, is probably the one item ultimately that will make a decision on how your property is taxed. So if your CO, again, certificate of occupancy, is not filed until the end of January, then you are good to go and won't have that high bill until the following year.
Yes.
But if it's December 31st, and even if you close December 31st and your CO is delivered that day, it's how your property is as of January 1st.
Yeah. And so that's for new construction. Now, for existing homes, I tend to have a lot of closings in December. Sometimes it's because people want to get into their homes for the holidays, or just from, you know, that crazy time of the year where they just want to be settled in somewhere. But a lot of the times it's because of taxes. So explain that to us, why it's important sometimes to go ahead and close by December 31st on an existing home.
And most of those people, I would assume, are trying to get their homestead exemption again before January 1st. So if you are, especially if you're moving from another area, if you're moving from Ohio and you're coming down here in December and you, again, have that option to decide on when you can close, you would certainly want to do that on or before December 31st, so that you are considered, you have a deed in your hand that says you lived in this property as of January 1st of that year. And that's what you need, because that's what most people are looking for. Now, there might be some other tax with the Internal Revenue Service, a 1031 exchange, or those kind of things, but that doesn't have anything to do with usually why people are trying to close by the end of the year. It's their homestead exemption.
Right. Yes. Because we do get a lot of that. And so, you know, sometimes you want to postpone it to like January 3rd. And I'm like, well, you may not want to do that.
And it certainly does put a lot of pressure on the title companies, you know, to make sure that they get things done, because it's not like, you know, in June where you can say, oh, I'm so sorry, we have to extend a couple of days. You know, if you extend a couple of days past December 31st, it really does cause a problem.
A
financial problem.
Right. I do feel bad for the title companies. I really, really do. I think for them, New Year's Eve, December 31st. Well, first of all, they're probably asleep by like 9 o'clock because they're exhausted, or they're working sometimes. but they probably have huge parties, just, you know, like, oh, we're done. Finally. It's just been chaotic up to that point. So
exactly.
I do feel for them. I really, really do. But hey, you know, we do what we have to do, right? For our customers.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Okay. So we've talked about homestead ad nauseum at this point, but hopefully everybody does understand it. And if not, you know, we can definitely answer questions later on. But there's one exemption that we haven't talked about, and it's actually very popular here in our part of Florida, which is the agricultural exemption. And so if you can just give me a little idea of what that is and let us know and where you can get that, because I know that you can get it in more than a farm.
Yeah, so the ag exemption is something that you do get a lot of questions about, because you'll get somebody, and I get this a lot. I have a goat on my property. Doesn't that mean I classify for the agricultural classification? But there are some guidelines that you have to follow to make sure that you are considered agricultural. You know, there are some law requirements that you are actually doing agricultural work, so to speak, or that you have, I don't remember exactly what the number of animals are, but there are some, there are some pretty restrictive guidelines to make sure that you are taking care of that. And it doesn't have to be even just animals. It doesn't have to be just a goat, but let's say you do some sort of a hay production or some field crops of some sort or whatever. You know, there's a lot of other, I think there's even a fish hatchery that would fall under that. So there is a good amount of different classifications for agriculture that would follow under. So you need to make sure that your property meets those needs. And then, yes, you would be based on an agricultural exemption. And that, again, reduces your taxes. The other thing is, wouldn't it be awesome to have your property appraiser be educating realtors about those kind of things, you know, to come and talk even, you know, once in a while about what kind of things are you dealing with? What kind of questions do you get out from the public, from your clients? And what do we need to educate people on? And this is one of the things that I think is a prime example on what we can do to work with the property appraisers as realtors, because, you know, we don't even have all the answers to the questions, even though a lot of people think we do. And it's really hard to kind of get all of those answers and stuff. But if you are continually getting a question about agriculture, and that's one of the things that you really should be able to, you know, what a way to be able call up the property appraiser and say, hey, guess what? I would love to have, you know, a little 30-minute class. Of course, now it would have to be a Zoom meeting on about having exemptions on agriculture, because we get a lot of questions on it. And what can we do about that? And, you know, I think that's one of the things that I'm hoping to bring a little bit of a togetherness with the real estate community, the real estate industry as a whole, and the property appraiser's office.
Definitely. I always say, an educated realtor is a good realtor. An educated buyer or seller is a good buyer or seller. I think the more we know about the whole entire real estate process, because it's so much more than just, it's more than HGTV. Everybody's just like, oh, it's about showing houses and buying houses. It's that's the surface. And then there's everything else underneath that goes into it. And that's actually where a lot of the money is. You know, you're buying a house for $200,000 maybe, but then there's so much more that goes along with it when you're talking about things like taxes, and a lot of people just don't factor that in. So so that's key, definitely. All right, well, I'm sure that I haven't asked you like nearly enough questions, because I'm sure you are a wealth of knowledge when it comes to all of this, but is there anything that you absolutely want to mention before we wrap it up?
No, I mean, I think that this is one of the things I just want to put out there that I think is important, to have somebody that has had their hands a little bit all over. And I'm never going to have all the answers, but I can tell you that I will certainly work hard to make sure that the community is educated, that we're getting the best of our exemptions that we can. I mean, I kind of used this analogy the other day, and I've been maybe honing on it a little bit too much, but, you know, if you wanted to get your lawn done and you wanted to look around, would you hire someone who was just cutting the same lawn for years and years and years? Or would you consider looking at somebody who has been trained in all aspects of landscaping, from the soil to the placement of the plants to where the shade is? And so I think with me, I have a little bit of knowledge around in the community as a whole, all around. And I've been around in, you know, within the county and doing a lot of the government meetings and helping with affordable housing. And I was on the Affordable Planning Commission. The Alachua County Planning Commission. So I just, I think that having all of that is just kind of a big bubble waiting to burst to be the property appraiser.
All of that. And I would I would love it if you were able to do that because you sound very, very knowledgeable. Not that I've spoken to any of the other candidates, I will say, but I do, because I know you and I know your background, I felt really confident in that you'd be able to give us just an incredible amount of information as you have. So thank you so much.
And thank you.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. Thanks for sharing information with us. If anybody has any more questions about all of this, hopefully one day the property appraiser will easily be able to answer these questions online. But if not, for the time being, we'll put Susan's information on the podcast information. And if not, of course, everybody can always email me at anna@segwayre.com and we will pass it along to Susan. So thank you so much, Susan, for joining us. Thank you for joining us. And here's to next time with more real estate information.
Thanks so much for listening today. If you like what you hear and want to learn more about real estate and hear the occasional funny story, then hit that subscribe button right now. And if you know of someone who'd benefit from listening, then tell them to subscribe too, or else they may feel a little left out. For questions, topic suggestions, or nice comments, send an email to anna@segwayre.com. We can also connect on Facebook at SegwayRE. Thanks for listening as we bring you a new way of doing real estate.